Hello and happy new year. Welcome to January 6th. You're listening to WVEWLP 107.7 FM Brattleboro Community Radio. You're listening to The Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken.
And I'm Becca.
How you doing over there?
Okay, how are you?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I haven't seen you in forever.
I missed you last week.
I missed you too last week.
And I will say, speaking of last week, just a very quick thank you to everyone who has written in regarding my dad. It's really been such an incredible response. And I have forwarded all of the emails to him and he really appreciates it. So if you would like to respond to last week's show, just send in an email to theshowisogay@aol.com. And with that, let's jump into the news. Ready to jump into the
news?
Sounds
good. Jump in.
So the Human Rights Campaign, I don't know if you read about this. You don't have an iPhone, do you?
I do not.
I don't have an iPhone either. They have released a first-of-its-kind free iPhone application for its, quote, buying for equality guide. The application allows, or the app, sorry. I'm not good with the lingo. The app.
We're in Vermont.
I know. Look how much time I just saved by saying the app allows shoppers to access the Buying for Equality guide as they enter a store to see how gay-friendly hundreds of brands are. The iPhone app is available for download at hrc.org/iPhone. And both Apple and the iPhone's exclusive service provider, AT&T, score 100% on the 2010 Corporate Equality Index, which leads us to the poll of the week. I thought this was just so cool. The poll of the week was, does the HRC Corporate Equality Index, Becca, actually affect your purchasing decisions? Here were your choices. Always, exclamation point, unless a company has a flawless 100% score, they're not getting my money. That's option one. Option two, one lost patron won't affect these companies. The index doesn't matter to me. Option three, I plan to, now that I have a handy app on my iPhone. I would not choose that, seeing that neither of us has an iPhone. Or option four, I make a mental note of the offenders, but I can't say I'm always mindful when making purchases.
Well, I'm going to run out and get an iPhone right now.
Just to get the app.
Just to get the
app. I kind of want to. I think that's great. I think more knowledgeable. And that, I think, was the, not even just the plurality, the majority of folks, 71% said, I make a mental note of the offenders, but I can't say I'm always mindful when making purchases, followed by 18%, always, 6%, one lost patron. These are the negative people. The negative Nancy said one lost patron won't affect these companies. And 5% have iPhones and said, I plan to now that there's a handy dandy app on my iPhone.
Yeah.
So let's go get
I
iPhones.
Have to say that I do research corporations that I generally do business with, and I will make decisions based on it, but it's not exclusively on the equality rating. There are a lot of other ratings out there. So a lot of times I've discovered that some company that I really like actually is
not so good.
And so I have changed some buying habits because of that.
I need to
look
up. I don't
think I can mention any of them on the.
We could take them on. Is it AOL?
I don't think so. No,
we've defeated them so many times,
dude.
In happier news, although I hesitate to say this is happier news, hey, in Rhode Island, funeral rights—they're back for the gays. Rhode Island lawmakers voted yesterday to allow same-sex and unmarried couples the right to plan the funerals of their late partners, overriding a veto by the governor who warned that it ended traditional marriage. The bill passed 67-3 in the House and 31-3 in the Senate, and it enjoyed support from several Republican lawmakers. The new funeral planning rights also apply to unmarried heterosexual couples. Yay for funeral rights. It's just such a non-brainer.
I don't know.
I can't sit here and celebrate that.
I hate being like, yay, you've been with someone for 30 years. You may, in fact, plan their funeral. That seems pretty harsh, actually.
Well, one of the folks voted against it, one of the lawmakers voted against it. I was reading this, which is kind of interesting. She said, because it also applies to unmarried, as I just said, unmarried heterosexual couples. And she was saying, well, if my son were to die, the idea that my 18-year-old son's girlfriend, who he's been dating for less than a year, could override how I want to bury my son, that just doesn't work for me. I thought, well, okay, that kind of makes sense. So work it out.
Okay.
Work it out. So that was kind of happy news in a really bizarre way. And then for
just a reminder to get your wishes down on paper,
yes,
everyone.
Yes, yes, yes.
Write it down.
Make your notary your friend. Those wanting to watch the hearing on a challenge to the Prop 8 in California will have to wait a day to see the courtroom action. Chief U.S. District Judge Vaughn Walker announced today that the court will control 3 cameras and the videos will be posted to the court's channel on YouTube the next day. The trial, which is scheduled to begin next Monday, concerns California's ban on same-sex marriage, which was approved by voters last November. So you can stroll on over to the YouTube and
the
watch.
YouTube.
Well, I just think it's funny that this court apparently has a channel on YouTube. I don't know how watched it is, but I guess you could write.
I watch
all
it all the time. What are you talking about?
You could write. See, look at you with your Kindle
over
there.
I know. I keep
there.
Fiddling with it.
I wonder if your Kindle on the HRC index is endorsed.
I don't know.
We need to look up Amazon because we'll take them down. If Amazon...
I'm not giving up my Kindle, though.
Wait a second.
I'll give up my rights.
Wait a second.
No. Wait, no, that's not right.
If we go to HRC...
No, don't do it to me.
.org, and we look at their equality, if your head is down on the desk.
You can't do this
to
me.
No, we have to, because this is very important. This is really a touchstone moment for our show and really for equality. If we find out that the makers of the Kindle, so anti-gay, will you give up your Kindle?
Oh.
Will you give up your Kindle? She's hiding, folks. You can't see her because, you know, it's radio. She is literally hiding behind her Kindle. Right now.
I don't know. That would be really hard. Okay. I read a lot and we live in the middle of nowhere.
And I know this is uncharacteristic of me, but I would like to take this opportunity to say that we in no way know that Amazon or the makers of the Kindle are anti-gay. It really was just a hypothetical that we're putting out there. But if they are anti-gay, we can take them on. All right.
Ken?
We are going to play some music. Who goes to Amazon? Are they powerful? I don't think so. We're going to play a song called 2 Weeks, and this is by Grizzly Bear, as requested by tonight's guest. Enjoy.
Thank you.
right. That was 2 weeks by Grizzly Bear. And so I'm going to play tonight's media clip. And tonight's media clip comes to us courtesy of a certain late night talk show host. Have you heard this clip yet?
I have, but that's okay.
Oh, have you? I haven't heard it. Okay.
So Let's listen and then discuss.
Let's listen and then discuss. Here we go.
Well, here's something interesting. President Obama has appointed a transgender person. A transgender person. Her name is Amanda Simpson, and he has appointed her to become a part of the Commerce Department. We have a photo. Here she is right there. Yeah, that's Amanda Simpson.
What?
And she's a transgender.
Amanda?
What?
Amanda used to be a dude? Oh, my God!
So that was a skit that was on David Letterman the other night, and understandably, there are a lot of folks that are really upset about that skit.
And
what do you think?
Demanding apologies.
Demanding an apology. What do you think? Some other folks, I will say, other folks argue that the skit was actually making fun of the narrow-minded, stereotypical response to learning a friend or colleague is trans. Did it cross the line? Did it not cross the line?
Yeah, but... You know, I always am suspicious of those, like, we're not making fun of that minority. We're making fun of people who are making fun of the minority. It frustrates me. I feel like people will take the joke however they want to take it. And if it's in a bigoted way, they're not going to pick up on the overarching humor.
I have to say, I think this would be a much different thing if we were talking about gay appointee as opposed to a trans appointee. Because the level of dialogue around gay issues, LG and somewhat B issues, is just so much more saturated in the consciousness than transgender topics. And so I feel like to make a joke right now when the level of discourse around trans topics is so nil, it's just, yeah, there's no way, first of all, that this is going to be understood as some sort of satire or we're making fun of the people who make fun of, because
Right. We
talk about this all the time. So
no, I don't think anyone who should get it gets it.
Yeah.
So
there
then
is...
it's just a bit, you know, Letterman being a jerk face.
Exactly.
That's all that's left, man.
According to The Hill, a newspaper that serves Capitol Hill readers, leaders of the House and Senate decided Tuesday evening to stick with the Senate version of the health care reform bill. The only problem with that, Becca, is that that version doesn't have any of the pro-gay provisions. So this was made in a decision last night.
Want to go back and explain that one to me?
I will. They have a couple versions that they can go with. They can go with the House version or the Senate version. But last night in a meeting with... These were the only people in the meeting. We were not invited to this meeting because
No. The
meeting was... President Obama, Vice President Biden, House Speaker Pelosi, and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid and Ken. We decided to
you
go
weren't there.
The other version, and this is what the version is not going to have, which the other version has. The pro-LGBT provisions include ending the current tax inequity for gay employers who cover their partners or spouses on their work health insurance coverage, prohibiting discrimination in health care based on personal characteristics, and launching studies to end health disparities for people based on their sexual orientation and gender identity. But don't get excited. That's not in the version that the U.S. House of Representatives and the Senate will be working on.
What is in the version?
None of that. I assume better health care, not so much with a public option. That's as much as I've understood about the health care debate right now. I'm just waiting for it to end, and someone will tell me how much my copay is. And then
Ken,
I know I should know more.
Oh gosh.
I should know
if
more.
We had a longer show, we would have a long conversation about this.
You're on top of the health.
We have other things to do here. You should be too.
All right. Well, how about instead we'll play some more music?
Okay.
Because I mean, really, it's a toss up. Do we play more music or do we highlight the fact that Ken does not know enough about the healthcare issues in this country? I go with music as well. I agree, Becca. I think that was a very wise decision that you just made, and I made on your behalf.
Oh, dear.
This is a great song called Heartbeat Radio. Enjoy.
Tell me what you think about the song. Sue me if you reckon it's too long. I want to know how you really feel. Tell me what you think, this is fun, yeah. Spending all my time and my money, yeah. Trying to find how you really feel. The radio's perfect pitch makes me nauseous. Oh, the dimwits are digging a ditch on my heartbeat radio. Tell me what's the deal with this static. FM has become automatic. I wanna know, did the DJ drown in a sea of reverb and compression? Oh, wait till you hear the refrain on my heartbeat radio. My darling waves can be replaced, but changing the station. What comes after heavy rotation? I wanna know, am I coming through? I wanna know what I've done to you. You're wearing out my favorite song and everyone else's. Oh, nothing but sad honky tonk on my heartbeat radio. My dog can't be replaced, but I will remember you. I sold my soul for your adore, still I'm not receiving you. Tell me what you think about this song. Tell me what you think about this. Tell me what you think about this. Tell me what you think about this. Tell me what you think about. Tell me what you think about. Tell me what you think about. We laugh and cry, but don't ask why. My poor heart still beats for you.
This just in, one of our listeners who's listening in live just checked out Amazon's rating on the HRC Equality
Index. And I'm so relieved.
Turns out they scored a 95, so there is a sigh of relief on the other side of the desk as Becca gets to keep her Kindle.
I was thinking, though, about the other options available.
95% is good. You get to keep your Kindle.
I do get to keep the Kindle.
Congratulations.
And maybe I'll write them a letter about that 5%.
There you go. And to reward you, I say we welcome a guest. Guest, are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Fantastic.
Hello.
Let's introduce you. Since 2006, Aaron Hicklin has been the editor-in-chief of Out Magazine, the United States' largest gay men's magazine. He's also the editorial director of LPI Media, a division of Regent Media, which includes The Advocate. Previously, he was an editor of Black Book magazine. He's the author of Boy Soldier, the editor of The Revolution Will Be Accessorized, which came out in 2006, and Outsiders, which will be released this upcoming year. Aaron Hicklin, welcome to this show, Is So Gay.
Well, thank you. What a grand entrance.
Well, hey, you wrote it, man.
Oh, God, that's correct, yes.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
I hear through the grapevine that you, sir, are going on vacation.
It's a very short grapevine. I am going on vacation, so I'm sitting in my office right now in Manhattan, like trying to tidy away some last-minute entries for the National Magazine Awards. The deadline is tomorrow, and as usual, and as every editor in this country and beyond probably, I always do things last minute. So I'm wrapping up these entries, and then once we've finished our evening, I shall go home and finally pack around midnight so I can get on a 7 o'clock flight.
And where is the flight going?
Yes.
It's going to the British Virgin Islands.
Lovely.
Oh,
all right. Hide away in the sun.
That's okay. Now, I have to tell you, my secret little story that I don't even think I've told you, Becca, is that when I was 19 years old, I quit Barnes & Noble on Astor Place.
So you told all of us this.
Did I tell everyone this? But I didn't tell Aaron. Aaron doesn't know this. So that I could go do an internship at a magazine called Out Magazine. They're on Green Street in New York City. And I thought, in my head, Aaron, I thought, all right, I'm going, and they're just going to give me a column because I'm, you know, an intern.
It turns out that's not how it works, huh?
As it turns out, that is not how it works, and nor was I even an intern for the folks that write. I was an intern for the promotions department, and so I assisted with the Grand Banana Republic opening in Chelsea. It's very exciting.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, you know, Banana Republic has come a long way since you gave it a kickstart.
Good job. They write me all the time and thank me. and it really was my work as an intern at Out Magazine.
Without interns, this magazine would be nothing. Like, I hesitate to use the word slave labor, but interns are the engine that makes America tick. And we really rely on them. And actually, many interns have gone on to become editors here, including in my own short three and a half years. They are invaluable.
Yeah, see, that didn't happen to me. That's really not the route that I went. But no, it was amazing. I truly, what I remember so vividly about working in that office was, first of all, everyone was dressed so much better than I was, and they had this CD by Olive on repeat.
Oh, really? And Olive? I had forgotten about Olive.
Listen to Olive nonstop.
Do you still do that?
Is Olive still the national songs of Out Magazine?
I think right now it's probably, as with everybody, Lady Gaga and Paparazzi. But Olive may have a comeback yet.
Oh,
maybe we'll spearhead it.
If I had my say. Now, for folks that somehow don't know, how would you, the editor-in-chief, characterize Out Magazine? How would you explain to people, hey, go buy this magazine because this is what it is?
You know, that's a question I've been trying to figure out myself for the last 3.5 years. But, I mean, in short, I'm a fervent believer in creating the kind of magazine you would read. And so essentially, Out is a magazine that I always wanted. It's a magazine of many parts. It is targeted at gay men and women, although primarily gay men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very hard, I think, although, you know, I'm always happy to be corrected, and I often am. I think it's very hard to do a pop culture lifestyle magazine, as Out is, that appeals both to gay men and women, because we have such unique and divergent interests to a large extent. The Advocate does more of that. I mean, The Advocate traditionally has been current affairs, opinion, news-driven publication that has responded very much to the now and to a large extent has kind of led the charge for equality and made the case. Out has responded much more to, and in fact evolved in the 90s when it was launched, really to the sort of, although I hesitate to use the word post-AIDS because, you know, post-AIDS still seems a long way off, but to a large extent a sort of post-AIDS, post-Stonewall environment in which gay culture finally was manifesting itself in the mainstream. And to a large extent, I think the role of Out right now is to sort of document and celebrate that convergence of straight and gay culture. Lady Gaga is a really great example of that, someone who stands astride both mainstream sort of straight interests and gay culture. In fact, she channels gay culture to the mainstream to a large extent. And I find that really exciting. I mean, it's happening in TV, it's happening in music, it's happening in films. And it happens in fashion. You know, gay men and women for a long time have created American culture to a huge extent. In fact, this is an issue we're going to explore in March, in our March issue, an issue that's predicated around the idea of American classics from West Side Story to Warhol soup cans that were created by gay men and women. The difference is now that we're doing it in the open in a much greater way, and it's being acknowledged. And I think that's, you know, I think it's very important while being aware of the fight that we're still engaged in, and you know, it, to a large extent, it really is the last great struggle, liberty struggle, to also celebrate the tremendous progress we've made.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Now, you did this, I have to say, this great interview, online interview back in September for, I think it was Advertising Age, and this was a quote from the interview that I thought was quite well done, from our guest tonight, Aaron Hicklin, quote, "I don't think it's our mission to put only gay people on the cover, although we often get criticism when we don't. I can understand that point of view, but the fact is that we don't have a bottomless pool of A-list gay talent to put on the cover, and even if we did, I'm not interested in a world solely determined by other gay people. We live in the wider world, after all, and what's more interesting to me is having a gay perspective on that world." Aaron, tell us, describe a gay perspective on the world for our listeners.
Oh, you're trying to catch me out. That's a really good question.
No, it was a really good quote.
Thank you. Well, you know, I mean, I have to say, before I came to out, I was very much a member of that world that sort of didn't feel necessarily the need to subscribe to specific gay artifacts, a gay media. And yet, now that I'm part of that, I realize that we have a very specific role and a very specific voice. And that we can articulate that really well in a way that mainstream media, even mainstream media that sort of panders to a gay audience, saying, could, you know, prestige titles like the New York Times, but also less prestige titles like Details Magazine, mm-hmm. all of which now address often and frequently gay concerns, they don't often, I feel, do it in a way that speaks to and addresses how we live as gay men in that bigger world. They often right. do it because their writers and editors are straight from a straight perspective. And I do think that there's a difference because there's no, there's less room for empathy there. Empathy can only come from people who've experienced what you've experienced. And, you know, the other side of editing a magazine like Out is while I'd love to trumpet the progress we've made, I'm also constantly being made aware again and again of how much progress we've yet to make. And until, you know, and I think I say this in the Ad Age interview when I'm asked if gay magazines have become redundant, you know, the fact is, as long as it's still hard for people to come out anywhere
right.
in America, gay magazines, as with any gay media, including your show, are never going to be redundant. And I still think we're a long way off from that. In a weird way, it's our mission to become redundant. But we'll always have a very specific lifestyle and interest. And enthusiasms. They may, you know, we may, there may be a lot of convergence, and I, you know, I, as I say, that's a great thing and something that I welcome. But at the same time, we're different. And a gay magazine needs to find ways to articulate that. And that's essentially my job.
I can only imagine that there are still tons and tons of subscribers who still receive the magazine in the white plastic, are there not?
Yeah, we've tried very hard. I mean, I don't know how many of our readers are aware that they don't need to receive it in white plastic, and that may be our fault. But when I came onto the magazine 3.5 years ago, everyone received it in white plastic,
yes.
and I felt really awkward about that. It made it seem that there was something shameful about receiving this magazine.
It was a strange thing for the name of the magazine.
Exactly,
versus...
it's a very strange thing, and yet at the same time, there are people in parts of America. Maybe even in New York City, hell, you know, not everybody here is as enlightened as we like to think.
Exactly.
For whom receiving Out magazine could literally jeopardize their safety.
Right.
So it's not our role as a magazine despite the fact we're called Out, it's not our role to make assumptions that everybody is able to live their lives the way I'm able to live my life. In fact, I think not enough people are. So that's an option for our readers, and it's an option that many choose to take. And there may be many who don't need that option anymore and haven't realized they can order or subscribe to the magazine without the plastic wrap. But we make it clear on the wrapper and the fact we've been for about a year now broadcasting on the letters page of the magazine that it's very easy to tick a box online and have the wrapper removed, so they just get it through their mailbox the way they would any other magazine that's proud and confident.
Right. Now, is there any better list of all the lists in all the world? I mean, some people like the Ten Commandments. Some people like some other lists. Is there any other better list than the Out 100 list?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
You know, I've been wowed by the photographs that go along with
yes.
it, too.
Thank you. I'm really glad you say that. And I don't want to get egotistical here, but it takes a tremendous amount of work. And I think often... as a reader, and in a way, you know, a magazine should feel seamless. You shouldn't see all the mechanics and architecture and engineering that goes on behind it. But for a magazine that's an independent magazine, even one that's has relative size for gay media, our resources are still very finite. I mean, they're not, you know, they're not as limited as they might be on other publications, but they're certainly not kind of Condé Nast level resources. So to pull together a portfolio like that takes a lot of work. And when I came to the magazine, the At 100 has been going for 15 years, but it's only for the last 3 years that we have shot everyone. And there's a really profound reason behind that, which is that I feel all those people, and few of them are A-list Hollywood stars for the very obvious reason that there aren't many of them, and B, there are so many other aspects to the LGBT community, and we want to celebrate that. But many of those people either don't have interesting photographs or haven't been photographed, and the idea of this portfolio is to treat those people as our heroes and our stars and our celebrities in the way that Vanity Fair might shoot them, which means engaging the right photographer and styling and shooting those people as celebrities in their own right. And I think that is a very specific mission to out. No other magazine is going to undertake a portfolio like that for the simple reason that they don't think it's relevant to their audience. But it's at the heart of who our audience is. I mean, it's about acknowledging people who have achieved, you know, all sorts of things in spite of the prejudices in society as out gay men and women, and in a couple of cases, as in Cyndi Lauper, who's on the cover, as allies of gay men and women. So I think that's something that I don't think I ever appreciated until I came to the magazine, and now I see it as really like a platform issue, really central to a mission, and as much as we have a mission.
Sure. And it does seem kind of more lighthearted, but at the same time, we've spoken with quite a few people on the list who it seemed like they were being fed by that. They really enjoyed that process of having their photo taken and being in the magazine and highlighted in that way. And they would get so enthusiastic when they were talking about it. And one of the things we always talk about is how do you avoid burning out? And I'm going to ask you that question too, but you know, with all of the bad news all of the time, how do you keep being an activist in the face of all that? And it seems like even that studio time actually is one of those ways that people keep from burning out.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm not going to burn out personally because I just get so much pleasure and joy out of what I do on many levels. I mean, I've always had pleasure out of editing magazines and writing for magazines. When I came to Out, I'll be really honest, I was terrified and I was anxious. And like many gay people who have made a decision to live openly and in an out way, for want of a better construction, I really didn't know if I was comfortable defining myself as an editor of a gay title. It seemed to me a big leap to make. But I have to say that from the moment I made it, I've never regretted it because it is so empowering and motivating to be a magazine that, yes, you know, there's a lot about Out magazine that many people may not take to or may dislike or may see as frivolous. But all of that, I think, is really important. One of the things I felt when I came to Out is, hell, you know, as gay men and women, we deserve a magazine that's as frivolous and fun and throwaway as any magazine that straight people might subscribe to. Like, not all of them, you know, that's also a reflection of progress and a reflection of where we are.
Right.
So it's very important to me that magazine reflects that aspect of our lives as much as it does the political struggles we have and the fight we have to lead still, of which the Out 100 is a key part. But I think the panoply of people in the Out 100 really plays off all those facets of the magazine. I mean, there are people there many people may just seem frivolous, you know, who are involved in the fashion industry or in light entertainment. But there are all these facets and parts of our lives as much as you know, it's bold and courageous, I think, for someone to be, an out model as it is for someone to be an political activist. They're both those people have made a decision about how to lead their lives, and those decisions are really inspiring, and I wish I'd had as many examples when I was growing up that I'd been much more confident as a 16 and 17-year-old.
Now, I have to ask. Now, we're not delusional. We don't think that when you were all sitting down to decide the 100 that we were at like 114. We think that we, our show, is probably in the 280s. But do you ever have, that's where we're thinking. We're thinking
280s.
Yeah, 280, 282. Do you have, I have to
wait,
ask.
He just said 180. I'm putting that on the website. 180? That's it.
All right. My God, that we just started.
We were so close.
Cultural capital just.
All the time.
Yeah, the cultural capital just shot up. Do you have, I'm not asking you to tell tales out of school. I'm just somewhat curious. Do you have people after you announce the list say, oh my gosh, I cannot believe that you did not name me to the 100?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, we have a bunch of people like that, and some people have ran, some people are in a position to, and I won't mention any names, Perez Hilton, have yeah. run campaigns where they've asked people to nominate them. We once did an open nomination call where we asked readers to nominate candidates for the Out 100, and Perez Hilton had sort of two-thirds of the nominations.
Really?
And actually, we did put him in that year. And, you know, that it's a really good example because it got a lot of attention and a lot of criticism. I would say 99%, maybe 100% were opposed. And, you know, it's very, very easy and natural to take issue with lists. I love lists, reading lists, but I always have problems with them, every single
sure.
one.
Right.
You always are aware of the omissions and...
Well, it's an oversimplification. I mean, you're always going to have that.
You're always going to have that. And also, you know, the Out 100 isn't necessarily about, I mean, largely it's certainly about acknowledging people who have impressed us. But it's also about people who've done well, even if they've done well in fields such as blogging and being mean to people, that we won't necessarily find attractive.
Right.
But nevertheless, that aspect of the media is central to many of our lives now, and whether we like it or not, it exists, and some people do very well at it, and some people probably merit acknowledgement for that, even if we might not agree with their opinion. I mean, you know, otherwise I think we'd be living in a sort of Stalinist media culture. So there's a lot of things in the magazine that I often take issue with, but I know that that other editors on my staff believe in them, and that I have to sort of stand back. And I would hope that our readers do the same thing.
And I just have to say, to put it out there, and I so don't want to get into this, and I would imagine you don't either. You do know that people, we got the whole Adam Lambert thing, right? Like, we got what you were saying. I know there was a lot of controversy around it.
You know what?
we got it.
I have to say, it's still interesting to me because one of the things that I really enjoy is having a forum in the magazine to talk to our readers, my monthly edit letter. And a lot of magazines, an edit letter is an afterthought, and many months it's my afterthought too. It's the last thing I think about. But I think it's very important, if you have that platform, to use it to have a conversation with your readers.
Mm-hmm.
And the conversation should be about, you know, the world we live in and the process of putting together a magazine, not just a rah-rah thing, look how great this issue is, and we want you to read this, and we want you to read that. Of course that's important, but I think in this case, particularly in relation to the Out 100, it felt valid and relevant for me to address the way in which the publicist for Mr. Lambert had laid down certain requirements in order for us to be able to shoot him. Now, I accepted those requirements as a condition for shooting him and getting him in the Out 100 because I admired Adam Lambert, mm-hmm. and I still admire Adam Lambert. In fact, I believe firmly that he wasn't necessarily aware of the way his publicists were handling the media.
Sure.
Because I come across that all the time, not
I
just
bet.
Adam Lambert. And the fact that I chose to illustrate it with Adam Lambert doesn't mean that he was a sole exception. It's something I've come across time and time again at Out Magazine. As an editor who's worked in other magazines, I know that similar caveats are not laid down. It certainly weren't on Black Book or on Gear, which was a men's magazine that I was at for a while before that. No one ever said to us, you can't make this guy look too straight or too heterosexual. No one ever said they can't be on a cover solo because, you know, that might... you know, that might cause problems with our marketing and sales campaign.
Right.
Sure.
And, you know, with all due respect to Adam Lambert, who I really do believe is his own guy, and whose success on American Idol was extraordinary, and in fact was something that I wrote about for Washington Post editorial at the time as something that really reflected the transformation in American society. So all that aside, I just was very unhappy with the way that shoot was handled. And, you know, these things come together piecemeal. You often don't, I think a lot of people felt that that editor's letter was designed to gain attention and traction for the issue. Of course we want an issue to get noticed. It's really important that you're relevant, and one way of your relevance being measured is when people talk about you.
Right.
And other
papers,
sure. Magazines and blogs talk about you. But that wasn't at the forefront of my mind. The forefront of my mind was, how do I address what the Out 100 means? And this seemed a perfect example. That here we have this great representative of how successful gay men can be who are out in popular culture today, and yet they're still being managed in a way that is deeply offensive to gay men and women.
Well,
I have to say, I'm finding you to be extraordinarily gracious and generous to some of the criticism, because quite frankly, in reading some of the criticism on the various blogs and even Entertainment Weekly, you read through it and, oh, wait a second, you didn't even read his letter. you didn't read it. Okay. But some of it, just the pushback was so uninformed. So a lot of us got it, Aaron.
Well, I'm really glad you do. And I've probably trained myself to be diplomatic and defensive, because I was put on the back foot a bit. But at the same time, as an editor, you can never be afraid of that.
Right.
Right.
You know, it's, you know, in a way, I think if you're not provoking some response, you're probably not doing a job. Like, I would rather people felt strongly one way or the other than just felt ambivalent about something.
I just like to think that some of them actually read it. Reading some of the responses, oh, you didn't read it. Anyway, all right, we want to get you on vacation, so we're going to make you do the tradition that we have here on this show, but we're going to only do it for a couple. This is the part where you've requested a couple songs. We are going to ask you, Aaron Hicklin, what some of these songs say about you.
You get to psychoanalyze yourself.
You get to psychoanalyze yourself. So tell everyone the song that played you in a little bit earlier, which I have to tell you, this is one of the funniest faux pas. Now, I'm totally outing you right now, and it's appropriate because it's the magazine. In requesting this song, Aaron Hicklin wrote to me, I'd like to request Heartbreak Radio. The actual name of the song is Heartbeat Radio.
And what does it say about you?
Do we even need to go further on that one? What does Heartbeat Radio say about Aaron Hicklin?
Well, you know, I'm a big romantic, which is probably why I said heartbreak. Romantics are always happier, are always best when they're unhappy than when they're happy, to be honest. So Heartbreak probably appealed to me more than Heartbeat. But,
all right.
You know, Sandra Lerche, who sings that song as a Norwegian singer, I don't know, he just sounds like the kind of boy that every wistful, gay, 16-year-old, lonely heart deserved and couldn't find at school. If I was younger, I would probably have the most ridiculous crush on him. He has this fragile, beautiful voice. He's a solo artist, but, you know, I think there's also a weird sort of relationship to the music I grew up with, because, you know, maybe just because he's Norwegian, but I think of a-ha and some of those other sort of 80s bands. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't have all the production of that, but it has the really sweet sincerity of those songs and the sort of romance of those songs. And I've seen him a few times in concert. And I, one of the great things about working on magazines, probably not as good as working in radio, is you get so much free music sent to you. And, I've been in magazines ever since I came to New York, which is 10 years ago now. And I remember the most exciting thing when I first got here was record label, and things, the industry's changed tremendously now, but record industry reps would say, you know, come over for lunch and pop by our office, and there would be stacks of all their album, all their artists' CDs, and they would say, oh, help yourself. And I was so excited, because I grew up in an age where you got a cassette and played it 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 to death. And the idea of having unlimited music was something that, you know, I mean, I was well into adulthood, but I still felt like a little kid in a candy shop. And so, you know, in that process of working in magazines, I got to discover artists quite early. And in fact, my first magazine, I made it a point of playing every single CD that came into the office.
Oh my
gosh.
And
when I couldn't, I would get the interns and other editors to do it. So we would often, you know, find things that hadn't really been promoted or discovered at that point. And Sandra Lerche's first album, Faces Down, arrived on my desk that way, and it must have been in 2001. And it's the same sort of sound. There was a song called Sleep on Needles, or at least that was the key lyric, and just that image, Sleep on Needles, and it really conjured up so much. So I've probably gone on way too long.
No,
when do you find time? When do you find time to listen to all of his music and go to concerts and go on vacation?
This is a good thing.
But how does he also produce this amazing magazine? How does that happen?
You're so sweet. It's so nice to be interviewed by people who like you.
We could pretend to be mean.
No, we're not even. We can't even. We're not good at that.
Don't be mean.
Welcome to Vermont.
You're our second guest from across the pond in as many weeks. It's very exciting for us.
Who else did you have?
We had Billy Myers on the show last
week. Oh, really?
Yes.
How was that?
It was fantastic. She is just a doll. We had great conversations. We talked a little bit about experienced a lot of flack and people saying, you're not gay enough. And that's just such a fascinating comment that
I just had the biggest argument with one of my friends who was saying, how do you know Dumbledore was gay? And I said, well, the author came out and said that. And they're like, well, how did I not pick that up in the books? I'm like, because gay people are just like other people.
Yeah. No, she was great. Well, I have to tell you, you obviously have to know that Out Magazine is a lifeline for so many people all around the world.
Yeah.
And so the work that you are doing is just, it's really important, incredible work, whether they're getting in the white plastic bag, if they're not. I have to say, on a very personal level, although I joked about it earlier, and it didn't last that long, this internship, that was a formative experience for me. It really was. And I'm actually quite thankful that I was on the production end, on the event production end, and got to go out and meet so many other gay people. And even hearing you talk about your trepidation when you started the magazine, I was freaked the heck out. I remember calling home and saying, I got an internship at a magazine. And my mom said, which one? And I remember saying, that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is that I have an internship at a magazine. And I was really nervous. And just being around so many confident gay men and women and engaged in the production of a magazine that you knew was a lifeline. It didn't matter what, if it was representing pop culture or hard news, it was a lifeline for people who had no access to the gay community. You were doing extraordinarily important work. My hope is that you know that, Aaron. You know that, right?
It's really good for people to say that and to be reminded, because, I never want to take any credit for anything. I do think ultimately I'm creating a magazine, and it's one that I hope people will derive some pleasure out of and benefit. And as I say, I wish I had magazines like this when I was growing up, which was in the 80s, and I certainly, they probably were. I mean, there was Gay Times in the UK, but mm-hmm. I never even thought about how I could possibly subscribe to a magazine.
Sure.
Like that.
And that's something important for our listeners to know. I know that we have some young listeners who are still in the closet, and the white plastic can be actually a tool.
There you go.
For
it
some
can.
People.
And it's not that, the one thing that everyone has now that, of course, I didn't have. I can't speak for either of you. I have no idea how old you are, but I didn't have internet growing up, and that's such a different. That changes things so dramatically.
Absolutely.
Give out the website. What website should they be going to? It's a pretty easy one.
Out.com.
There you go.
Out.com.
Out.com. Well, I have to tell you, we are so extraordinarily excited for the August issue, when you'll be featuring the Out 180 through 190. We're really excited about that particular issue.
That's going to be a great issue.
And you need to really embrace this vacation. You're going to embrace this vacation. You are not going to think about work. You are going to vacation, correct?
Right.
Absolutely.
All right.
And
awesome.
In 2010, you're going to get so many letters from inspired young people everywhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's
Absolutely.
Going to be great.
We thank you, sir.
Well, thank you. And, the same goes to you. I mean, good work. Congratulations on what you do. And thank you for providing your service. I mean, we're all of us, those who create and those who consume, and everyone who consumes creates too. I mean, we're all involved and engaged in this endeavor, and the endeavor is to, to make this world a better place. And I think the equality is also about reaching people who don't even realize that it's part of their struggle too. Our parents, our straight friends. So I always hope that the gay people who do buy out are also leaving the magazine around for straight people to read.
Definitely.
That straight people are listening to your show, because I think that, you know, it's really important that this is not just our cause, but it's everyone's cause.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Erin Hicklin.
Couldn't have said it better.
Absolute treat having you on the show. Here's wishing you all the best. A happy new year. Have an amazing vacation. And please, please keep doing what you're doing. It's making a real difference.
And yeah, say hello to the sunshine for us. We haven't seen it in a while.
I'll send you a postcard.
Oh, lovely.
Sounds good. Erin, thank you so much. All the best.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So my hands up in the air. I know I can count on you. Sometimes I feel like saying, Lord, I just don't care. But you've got the love I need to see me through. Sometimes it seems the Lord is just too old. And can go on no matter what I do. Now and then it seems like the life is just too much. But you've got the love I need to see me through. When food is gone, you are.
As this great song plays us out of here, here's wishing everybody a great week. We have an amazing show for you next week. Opera, opera, opera legend. I guess it should have been the other way. Opera legend,
legend.
David Daniels is going to be calling into the show. Very, very exciting. Please check us out at thisshowissogay.com. Send us an email at thisshowissogay@AOL.com. And stroll over to the Facebook and join our group. Just type in This Show Is So Gay, join our group, and get all our updates. We added about 8,000 new guests, many of them in the Out 100, so we're excited to bring them to you in the
Absolutely.
Upcoming year. Welcome back. Happy New
Welcome
Year.
Welcome back, Ken. Welcome back, listeners.
Get out there, folks. Do amazing things.
Send
Take a vacation.
Email.
Send us an email. And remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?